the council meeting in order, and we will start with the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, a couple things I need to announce. Because of the COVID pandemic, the governor still has us under a state of emergency. I don't know if Mr. Peterson is here today or not, but if he wants to participate via Zoom, he is allowed to. If he doesn't, that's his choice as well. And I dressed for the occasion. I look like a big pumpkin, I know. I got a round pumpkin shape here for Halloween. Remember, 3 to 7 for Halloween. We'll start with a roll call now.
Koch?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Chirulis?
Here.
Peterson?
Okay.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Oh, very nice. I like that.
He's here?
Well, he's on Zoom.
We got him. Great.
It was like when you used to speak to somebody in Europe on the phone back in the, whatever, the 80s or something. I just remember my parents with me once, and they called us, and it was like a 3-second delay. He'd say something, that was the same thing with him. He's not quite, well, he could be in Europe, if he's in, like doing the Epcot thing. He could be in like Norway or something like that right now. Okay, so do we have any amendments to the agenda? No amendments to the agenda, okay. Any presentations? We have no presentations. We do have a couple of scouts here. They're attending a public meeting for one of their badges, correct? I think you're both working on the same badge, maybe?
Yeah.
Yep. So welcome. I know they didn't want to necessarily stand up here and get on the video and everything, but it's awesome. I told them it wouldn't be a real long meeting, so we're going to hold you all to that, okay? Because they have homework to do since they're going to have school tomorrow, okay? Excellent.
You remember that.
Thank you, Joe.
So we do have executive session, unfortunately. Okay. Are there any citizen comments on the agenda? Anyone in Zoom have any comments on the agenda? Okay. We have a consent agenda. The consent agenda has minutes of the regular city council, September 22nd, 2020, and bills totaling $1,426,371.54, which includes payroll for the period ending 10/2/20. Is there a motion to approve? Second by Milshewski, and second by Koch, and this does require a roll call vote. Oh, I should first ask, any comments, questions? Okay, well, then we'll do a roll call.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. And Mr. Peterson, you are coming through loudly and clearly. That's awesome. So, mayor's report. We have, of course, one listed item, as I usually add a couple. Again, the scouts are here. Welcome. It's awesome that you're here, because I know when I was your age, I wasn't here. Now, we also had last week on the 6th, a week ago tonight, we had National Night Out, which originally was scheduled for, I think, August. Is that correct?
Correct.
And the PD, without the leadership of Mr. Jensen, who was on a much-earned vacation as well, and the Parks and Rec with the fearless leader, Tim Evans. I see Tim out in Zoom land. They did a tremendous job. The hot dogs were outstanding. Had a bunch of people there, a bunch of kids, and there was a movie too. Is that correct, Mr. Evans?
Yes. It was, the whole thing was superhero, was a themed night, so we had characters, and then we did a Spider-Man movie at the end of the night.
And even though it was a school night in October, you still had about 50 people or so for the movie?
Yeah, there was probably 150 people total throughout the night, and about 50 stayed for the movie.
That's fantastic. Normally this would have been August, so it gave people an opportunity to do something, and And the hot dogs were outstanding. I had a couple myself. So it was a good event. It was nice to see people out and about. And the weather was gorgeous, just like tonight. The weather was gorgeous. So thank you, Jim and Tim, and thank your staffs as well. Okay, next we have a repair for a sewer department truck. Could I get a motion to approve 2020-76?
So
led by Mr. Transier. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Milshewski, Ms. Milshewski, that is. And what this is, and I might have Eric explain this a little better, it's about a $27,000 repair. It's for a vehicle that was purchased about 5 years ago. I think I asked, does it make sense to repair it or just to get a new one? He said the vehicle is about $367,000. It's got a lot of lifespan left, but this particular portion needs to be repaired. And Eric, what exactly does this repair allow us to do?
This repair will allow us to do the height of excavation. Again, right now we have no vacuum pressure, so we can't remove any soil or anything from any of our roof.
Excellent. Are there any questions or comments from the council? Mr. Funkhauser.
Very small question. Has to do with the quote. It has decals listed. Is there a reason for the replacement decals?
Yeah, there's no decals on there right now. What it is it's a cleanup.
Lost audio.
Back on to show anybody where.
Eric, could you repeat that? The audio cut out for a moment.
I think they're caution decals.
And for washout areas. They're just replacements that are on there now, and it's a new whole new housing that goes on.
Does that help or not, or do you want to hear it again?
I just want to make sure that they're not just replacing, they're necessary for the use of the machine.
So Eric, they are necessary for the machine?
Yes, it kind of helps the guys see where what they need to do, where there's grease circs and or washout areas.
Okay, thank you. Other questions or comments? Mr. Peterson, did you have anything?
No, sir.
Thank you very much. Like everything else with these Zoom meetings, we do require a roll call.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Mr. Plocher, who wants to get out of here early, I turn it over to you.
I make a motion to authorize staff to submit application for IETEP grants for the following projects: Fox Road multi-use path from Illinois Route 47 to Cooper Forest Preserve and U.S. Route 34 corridor vegetation management. To approve a resolution authorizing applications for the Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program and execution of all necessary documents, Fox Road Shared Use Program, and approve resolution authorizing application for the Illinois Transportation Enrichment Program and execution of all necessary documents, Vegetation Management, Route 34 Corridor.
Second.
Motion by Plocher, second by Milshewski. Discussion on this? We've discussed this before, but I'll open up to questions or comments from the council. Mr. Funkhauser?
I have two, one on each. For Fox Road, when it comes time for plans to be prepared for the submittal or whatever documentation is going to have to be put in, we stop the trail at the east side of Whitehead, where the existing sidewalk picks up. There is a gap in that one in terms of the sidewalk. There's a little section. Would we be prudent to extend this all the way to 4 and 7 to incorporate potentially replacing the sidewalk and adding that small gap that's in there into this project? If we're going to do it, might as well do the whole thing. That's my thought on Fox Road.
So where is that gap at, you saying?
So a little further east of where we're stopping in the gully. There's a small gap. There's a couple.
From the gully to the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, where the gully is, there's a little bit of sidewalk, but then coming up, there are a couple houses, there's no sidewalk. But then that is sidewalk, and we want that to be trail as well. Just like in front of River's Edge, there's sidewalk. If we're talking about this being a multi-use trail, sidewalk doesn't fit the bill. So is, are we planning for that to be replaced as part of the proposal that's going to go in?
I don't have an answer. Aaron? Or Brad, one of you have an answer?
We're not sure at this time. We're looking into it further with IDOT and seeing if we are able to apply for both multi-use path and sidewalk, because we would like to acquire less right-of-way. If we could acquire less right-of-way to do a sidewalk in those areas where sidewalks make sense, and then to open it back up to a trail in locations where we are able to. But right now, that is unknown. We're still exploring that within the application process and with IDOT.
Do you have a follow-up or not? You look.
My only follow-up is if we're going to do this as the intended multi-use path, sidewalk doesn't work for me.
So
if we move forward and if we said it's sidewalk in parts of it, I'm not sure it's important. If we're going to do it, we might as well do it as a trail. That's the intent. That's the way it's written. We want to connect this as a trail, not as a sidewalk.
Aaron, do we still have an opportunity if we pass this tonight? Do we still have an opportunity to try to make that happen?
Absolutely. We can budget it and we can plan it for all multi-use after the length of the application term.
Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
Can I just clarify that you're saying to take it past like up to like Morgan or that?
Oh, take it to 47.
Take it all the way to 47.
Yeah, once you get by Morgan and further, it's just cycle.
It's just cycle. Yeah, I remember it's just cycle.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Part of it may depend on the right way, I think.
Yeah.
Mr. Trans here.
And those are probably sidewalks that would need to be replaced sooner as opposed to later, right?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Right, so if we do it, we should probably, I think I agree, do a full multi-use trail from 47 out to Hoover.
Anyone else? So let's see if we can make that happen. Here's where I would agree with that. But I wouldn't go as far as saying if it's not practical to do to hold the project up. So that's where I would, you know, I'd say let's try it. But I don't want to hold the project up if we can't get multi-use. If we have sidewalks that he can forego potential trail all the way to Hoover because we can't convert an existing sidewalk to a trail where there's already a sidewalk. Any other questions, comments? Do you have one on the next portion too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fourth corridor. When we're talking about the description, we talk about the planting of low grow domo seed within the islands and the trails between the railway. I want to make sure that we're saying that this is for the islands, the medians home, not the areas outside in the parkways or the outer edges. So I'd like the language to be changed or make it very clear that this is for the islands, for the medians only. And the addition of not just low mow, but perennial flowers. That's what we look to incorporate. So we have a little bit more than just, you know, the 12 to 18 inch grasses in the islands. I'd like to see us incorporate that language into this one.
So what do others think about that? I know we talked about that, the islands only. We did talk about that last meeting.
Yeah.
But as far as the grass versus the perennials, I don't know enough about that to say whether that's practical or not. I would again
just think of more flexibility. It adds a little interest at a couple of the intersections.
So you're saying either or, not necessarily?
No. I'm saying it adds both parts of the link, perennials and low-mo. So flexibility is there.
Either one would work.
Either one.
They don't have to have both, but
don't
want
to.
Okay. That to me is a difference.
Or, yes.
Okay.
But the big part is making sure that this is limited to the islands and the islands only.
So, Aaron, I know we talked about it again last time, but was this intended for the islands only after our last discussion?
I know Eric did some research on this, so I'm going to turn it over to Eric to answer these questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, the low-grown, low-mow, we had looked at doing the entire right-of-way and the medians. I don't know, Brad is not going to have a big cost estimate, so it's not a big deal to need to change that around, but we did low-grown, low-mow on all. I know the council said last time they didn't want the native grasses because they fall into the trail, which I completely understand. But the low-grow no-mow gets about 12 inches tall and you cut back to 4 inches tall. So it'll still probably 3 to 5 times a year.
So,
I don't want to have to talk to that.
Chris?
I'm still playing. I blew grass along the edge where the sidewalks and trails are.
Okay. Others? Well, we're going to turn an application. I'd like to be consistent with what your wishes are. Me, if it's like he's saying, where we don't have to, it doesn't get super tall, I don't have a problem with that, but if all of you do, then speak now, because we need to give them direction.
No, I'm okay with the non-native grasses, but yeah, they can keep it low and don't have to mow it down in front of it.
So you're okay with what they proposed? Okay. Others? Chris, I know you're not okay with what they proposed, but I'd want to get some direction here.
We had talked about it.
I'm sorry.
We had talked at the last meeting, but that option wasn't given to us at the last meeting. It was just made aggressive.
We're concerned with the taller ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these, it sounds like these won't be as tall. Anything else on this? Well, right now, the application, Eric, again, you said these are growing about how tall? 8 inches?
They're about a foot tall. Foot tall. You mow them down to a height of 4 inches. That's as low as you can mow them.
Okay. But they wouldn't be 2 or 3 foot tall?
No, they said they get about 12 inches tall and this kind of stuff out there.
Okay. Well, that's the way the proposal is right now, and that's the way we're going to submit it, unless you all change it.
For mowing this, is the equipment we have will mow this? Like, you can change the blade height? Or is it going to, are we going to need different equipment?
Eric, did you hear that?
I can't hear Jackie very well.
So the question was, if we go with the proposal and implement that, does the equipment we have, will that allow us to maintain it, or do we have to get other equipment?
No, that will allow us to maintain it. We can still mow it to a height of 4 inches. We don't necessarily have to let it get 12 inches tall, but we still won't have to mow it on a weekly basis. It spreads out the mowings.
So it'll save some operational costs.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'm off of that then. Mr. Funkhauser?
When this gets mowed, is it going to leave clumps of grass? Because if you're going from 12 inches to 4 inches, or is our...
No, I don't think it will, because with the mowers we have, we also have rear discharge mowers now and mulching kits. So even if we have to hit it, some spots that clump up, I don't think it will. I don't think it's going to be very thick even for the first few years. We shouldn't have any problems with that. And we can always mow that. Let's say we mow it to 6 inches, and then 3 weeks later, still saving two mowings, mow it to 4 inches. I don't think we'll have that clumping problem.
Other questions? Ms. Milshewski?
Eric, is it in the packet? Did I miss it? What is this that we're planning that's low mow?
It's called a low grow, no mow seed. I got it from online, because it's online. It's a company we deal with. And it shows on a description. I gave it to Brad. I don't think when he's done with it, we can get everything out.
So it's a grass?
It's a grass, yeah. It's a fescue, and I can't remember what the other mix is. But it looks like regular grass. It just doesn't grow very fast. It's about a foot tall, and then you mow it to 4 inches.
Right, it's similar to a golf course on the edges.
I'm always in the fairways, buddy. I'm sure.
So to put that in perspective, it's the very rough-looking, unkempt grass that you get outside of the fairways.
Probably.
And we're talking outside of the fairways. Yeah. Not the rough, not the grass.
It's not the rough.
Yeah,
it's the rough.
And it's not the most attractive-looking thing. That's why typically when doing trails, you try to keep a bluegrass bumper to it because it's a little more kempt. I'm just thinking this is one of our major thoroughfares through the city. Just saying, it's not going to look best.
Other comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Terulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yep.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Oh, I'm just trying out here. Oh, got a backup. Mr. Plosher, do you have anything else?
Nothing else there.
I have rights so many notes, my pen's right out. Okay, EEC. I think this is Ms. Milchewski.
So we had this, we had talked about it about twice now in the meeting.
Chickens? Just kidding.
No, they're common. They're common. I didn't want to do both at once, you know?
That's fair.
So this is, we got deadlocked on this, so we just decided to bring this forward and get everybody's input. So where we're deadlocked is special use. Some of us have put this in their home, and we have a special use. Two of us felt went that way. And the other is just to have it in our code change, where anybody could have this in the house, and you wouldn't know it necessarily.
So let me, just to give everyone a background, let me have Christy. Christy, are you out there somewhere? I don't see you.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Can you just give like just a real brief synopsis of this, so the people who aren't familiar with this conversation at least understand what we're talking about?
Sure. There was a request to amend our code to allow a gun manufacturer to manufacture guns out of a residence. Right now, the ordinance only allows manufacturing in the manufacturing district of guns. So this is a request for either allowing it as an outright permitted use as a home occupation or allow it as a special use.
So right now it's not allowed for either the retail or the manufacturing?
Only manufacturing.
In a residential district.
In residential. And this would look to amend the ability to allow the retail sales and the manufacturing out of a residential district.
Correct. Due to the nature of a federal firearms license, Title 7, which allows you to manufacture guns, it also allows you to
Okay, and do we currently have zoning which allows this?
We have zoning that allows it, but it only allows the manufacturing districts, and you can retail sale in the business district.
Okay, thank you. So just get everyone up to speed. Okay, so your committee is looking for direction.
Directing to give staff and stuff.
Looking to give direction.
We want to leave it in manufacturing, we want to let it go, but they can do it out of their home, but as a special use, or we change the zoning to say you can do this in your home. There's three options.
Okay.
One is leave it as it is in your home.
Anyone have any thoughts? Mr. Pulcher?
I would be okay with changing it, but not to residential. Like, if they wanted to go to manufacturing and sales of the industrial, that would be fine. Or if they want to do it maybe even commercial, I'd be okay with, but I think residential is a little far of a stretch there.
Mr. Cope?
I've had other, since the meeting, people come to me and they don't like it that it could happen in a residential neighborhood. I believe there was a individual that in Big Rock that they found that he was doing the same kind of thing, and they actually showed up in at his house and there was a shootout, and I learned this recently, so he survived it, but yeah, they got word got out, they were had it in the basement. It's a risk. Now you're going to put it in the residential neighborhood. And I don't know.
Okay, other comments? Mr. Trantier?
I don't know if anyone knows the answer to this. Under the manufacturing, can he sell what he's producing in his current location as well? He just can't sell them at his home.
Correct. He can sell and manufacture in his current location of the manufacturing district. He just cannot manufacture nor sell in the residential district.
He can't transfer the firearms from his home.
Correct. He cannot do that from his home for our local zone.
Is that something that's regulated by the FFL or is that something that's regulated by the state of Illinois?
So there's a double layer of regulation. Federal firearm license gives you the authority, and that's attached to an address. So as well as the owner is attached to an address, the ATF contacts us to see if that location permits the sell manufactured guns, and we give them our locals only. Then the state just enacted a local state regulation that requires manufacturers to be certified state, and a lot of their criteria applies only to retail, as in, you know, open to the public locations and not necessarily home occupation. People are doing this at their home.
But people can transfer firearms from their own homes.
Yes.
But not as retailers, for manufacturers.
Correct.
So he can make it, but he just can't sell it from his home.
No.
He can't make it with his own.
No, but in his current location right now, he can make it.
And sell it.
But he can't sell it from his home.
Correct.
But if he has guns that he purchased somewhere else, if he went to Dick's or if he went to Cabela's and he bought guns, he can transfer those guns from his own home.
Correct.
Because he didn't manufacture them.
Correct.
Okay. Can we
he can do that as an individual.
Right.
But
right.
Now he's doing that for a business under the FFL Type 7, cannot do that from his home in Yorkville.
If we allow him to manufacture these weapons from his home, can we limit the amount that he can make? Either
how
under special use?
How do you monitor that?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. My answer is it's impractical to monitor.
Christy, did you have anything else?
Yes, so there's a chart in my long memo, and I apologize for that, it's a lot to cover, but there's an analysis, and it shows the areas that we can regulate under each option, the three options that we have. The least amount of regulation we have is under the home occupation. You have a little bit more under special use, you have the most under allowing it only in manufacturing.
Other questions or comments? No one else? Mr. Peterson, did you have any comments or questions? I keep forgetting you're out there, sorry.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. So I've heard a couple say no. I've heard one ask questions.
At the EDC meeting, I was, at the very least, go special use. So there is a public process where people are being made aware of their neighbor wishing to, you know, manufacture firearms in their basement. Regardless of who the individual is, I'm not worried about the guy that's the subject of this request, because I've never heard a bad thing about the guy. I'm worried about the Looney Tune that comes down a couple years from now, who is using his licenses to acquire certain materials and then going above and beyond the law. So my concerns have always been, if we're going to allow somebody to do this, make sure they go through a public process where it's put in the newspaper and their neighbors are made aware of it. Because I moved into a residential neighborhood to live with people that are also in residential houses. I don't care if you're cutting hair in your basement or you got a little wood shop in your garage to keep, you know, bide your time. I'm not really down with having my neighbor manufacturing firearms for profit. But if he is, and he's of the quality of the person who's making this request, if that's something that they wanted to do, at the very least, I think special use is where we should go. The conversations that I've had since that meeting all kind of point to, it's already allowed in manufacturing, just leave it in manufacturing. So I think I was a little bit more understanding because, again, the petitioner is an upstanding guy. But again, not worried about him, worried about the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy. So because government is in and of itself relatively dumb, and there is no real way of monitoring this stuff, if it's outside of the manufacturing district, in my personal opinion, I think it makes sense to either keep it the way it is, or at the very least, like I said, go full on public process with the special use. If he's gonna jump through hoops to acquire those licenses, he's gonna have to jump through additional hoops with the same documentation to jump through this hoop, or to receive this law. But that's just me.
Other questions or comments? Well, Christy, I don't hear any overwhelming support to do it. I think we'll just leave it as it is. Public safety. Is there anything from public safety?
No report.
Thank you very much. Admin committee. Mr. Funkhouse.
Yes. We have the tax levy estimate. I'll make a motion to approve a tax levy estimate for 2020 to be used for the purposes of conducting a public hearing on the tax levy in the amount of $4,295,704.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so this here is a levy that would capture new construction, but does not take any inflation or CPI. And I think that was the direction the council gave. We did it last year, and that was the direction from the committee and the council. I will ask you to consider one thing. I've seen this done before when I was with the county. Don't have to do it, but it's something to consider. The new construction numbers aren't final, and they're not final until you go through the hearings and all the, well, actually, hearings aren't really that relevant to new construction. But until the final stuff gets processed, and as you know, last year was a good year of construction, this year is even a bigger year for construction. And talking to Bart, Rob looked, and I think we left about $13,000 on the table last year in new construction, because when we came up with the estimate, all the final numbers weren't in. So one thing I would suggest, and again, I know we can do it, Bart's assured me we can do it, I would suggest maybe we raise that number like 50 grand or 75 grand, and then when we get the final number next year, we submit to the county clerk the final number with new construction, no more. We're not gonna take any inflation, but the new construction, so that way if we get $10,000 or $15,000, again, with construction going crazy this year, we're way above last year already, we don't leave dollars on the table for new construction. Just a thought, if you don't like the idea, that's fine, but it's just a way to get some money from new construction that we wouldn't otherwise get. So I'm open to questions or comments on that, or you can just tell me, go anyway. Mr. Frieders.
With that proposal, is that something that when we start this conversation next year, that can be like an option? Like something that we kind of throw in there as, this year we had the four different options. Can that be one where it's further outlined so that we're not like, because I totally understand what you're saying about leaving, you know, not leaving cash on the table. But the other part of me is like, we've had a plan. I don't want to, at the very last minute, have to stop and revert. Or the other option is it possible to have those numbers come back to us with what he's proposing? Because we have to vote on this by when? First meeting in November?
Last meeting in this, well, the levy ordinance itself has to be finalized by the last Tuesday in December. We only have one meeting in December, so then you work backwards. Generally, we need to approve the tax levy estimate, which is what's in front of you tonight, by, I think, the next meeting of City Council. So that you can conduct a public hearing and then approve the ordinance at a later date. So the answer to your other first two questions, I believe, is yes. Yes, I can add that in next year as a policy option. But yes, you could also approve an inflationary or a higher number at this meeting, conduct a public hearing, and choose to have a lower levy at some point. So that's really all you're doing. You're setting the ceiling for what you can ask for tonight.
And Mr. Frieders, to your question, staff didn't present that, and that's my fault. I should have thought of this because we did it every year at the county, and it's just something I didn't think of. And I asked tonight, and he said, well, you didn't give me that direction. Well, that's fair. So.
We did do this at a staff discretionary level one of the years, probably 10 years ago, when we were reducing property taxes. One of the years we'd actually reduced the property taxes more than we had communicated, and so we didn't go through that again the next year because we were actually taking more money away than what we needed. You approved the tax levy ordinance that was higher than what you had directed staff to certify when the actual certification comes in April or May. So at that point, the county clerk sends us a piece of paper that says, here's what you told us you wanted to be an ordinance, please sign off on this or reduce it. And we reduced it per city council direction from, you know, November, December. So it's not unprecedented here. It's just you're giving direction to staff to say, you know, I want you to reduce this at a later date, you know, under your
other questions, Johnson. Again, it was last minute, came up this afternoon. Completely my fault. Mr. Funkhauser.
Now, the 13,000 that we talked about, that's last year. That was a big year. Other ones have not had quite as much, but there have been several instances where this has happened. Obviously, the formulation of the final number can take place after what we're legally required to file and publish our information. So, kind of caught in a catch-22. We want to catch everything we can under deconstruction, but due to the timing process, that doesn't always happen. What is the assurance that the council has that we're going to make sure that we're not going to grab anything else, that what we're conveying is only new construction? And so I don't want us to get into a habit of saying, hey, this is the number we're going for, but then we last second reach out for more. That's kind of what all the speakers are saying there. And I want to make sure that that's what we're portraying to the public, that this is the number, only new construction, it's all in one, we're not going to try to, on the back end, grab anything else.
So there's two guidelines to that. One is whatever you put in the levy ordinance is the maximum amount that you're going to get from the county. So if the ordinance is approved at $10 million, let's just say, and the direction verbally or attached with the motion is to reduce it to 9.8 at a later date, there is nothing legally that would guarantee that action to follow through once the ordinance has been passed and then filed with the county. The county would not do the calculation and sign off for us. They would basically look for us to do that from a discretionary perspective. Because our property tax ceiling or property tax cap is probably in that scenario like 10.3 or 10.4 million dollars, and the county would only ratchet that downward in a scenario where we had asked for beyond our property tax maximum. So that guidance from the city council is only as good as the accountability that you have and whoever you designate to do that. So whether it's an elected official, the mayor to sign off on it, or staff to sign off on it, you know, that's it. It's, you told us to do it, and if we don't do it, then we'll be held accountable.
Yeah, it's a great question, very fair question. And again, I ran this before with the county, and it's just a matter of, do you have trust in myself and the staff? And you don't, that's fine. But we did it before, and I just thought, this year is bigger plastic, or it could be. I hate to leave another 10 or 15 grand on the table. And maybe that's the proposal this year. I don't know that, but there's a lot of construction still going on. And I think none of us want to take CPI. I don't want to. But at the same time, if we can get the taxes from the new buildings, new homes going in, I think we'd be remiss not to look at that. So what's your pleasure? Anyone?
I agree. Because you can always scale back down.
We will. When we get the final number in the
scale back.
We will dial that number in and we'll know what that number is. And that's what we will submit to the county. But you know, maybe it's instead of what was the number, $4,295,704, maybe it's $4,310,000. I don't know what the number's gonna be, but we'll have that number and that's what we'll submit.
So for purpose of the motion is drafted as our new construction estimate only. So Kathy, I don't know if it would be appropriate. I mean, could they just say the number plus 25,000?
New construction, yes, stated here, plus anything that is added.
So don't we need to have an exact number, though, or math, some sort of calculation in the motion language?
What do you want
to do? No, we can't. We don't have that number.
Well, we still have to set a maximum levy.
Yeah, for purposes of holding public hearing, we have to have a dollar amount.
So let me ask you this.
So what are you suggesting?
Let me ask this. Mr. Funkhauser, are you okay if we move this to the next meeting and we'll come back to the number? That still gives us time, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And then we'll have
yeah.
a number.
Yeah. So
we're
going to table it for 2 weeks?
Yeah, is that motion to table until the next city council?
Table 2 weeks.
Is there a second? Second by Representative Olszewski? Okay, we have a motion and a second to table until the next city council meeting in 2 weeks. And then we'll come back to the new number at that time. I appreciate everyone listening. And again, I apologize, my fault. We do need a roll call, though.
Transier.
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Motion approved.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Funkhauser, I expect you will correct me in my Robert Rules way to get that voted on properly at the next meeting. Because I'll screw up. Or you will. One of the two of you will.
We have a practice if it's table to a date certain, we just put it on
the table. Oh, perfect.
We don't
put it on the table.
Excellent.
If it's table to a date certain, we that's our practice.
Not like a chicken leg, we've got to pick it up. Okay, excellent.
Not our practice.
But perfect. What's that?
You and those chickens.
Well, you know, I got something else about those in just a moment here. Okay, and I'm not dressing as a chicken for Halloween, that's not it. I'm going as the Great Pumpkin, see? Okay, Park Board. Do we have anything from the Park Board, Mr. Evans?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. How about the Planning and Zoning Commission? Anything? Christy?
No report.
Excellent. City Council report. Mr. Frieders, you have anything? Any other council members? Mr. Peterson, how's the weather where you are?
It's hot.
Okay, City Clerk report?
No report.
Community and Liaison reports. Excellent. Staff reports?
No reports.
Okay, Mayor's report continued. I always like the second portion too. So, we have a couple items on here, but I do want to express, and this is where the chickens come in, I do want to express, I have had some residents, in fact, some in probably the last 24 hours or so, express to me that chickens may not be such a bad idea. Do what you want with it. I'm just giving you my feedback.
I was
this is the mayor's report. Oh. Come on, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
I think some of the information at the committee as far as HOAs was not necessarily after talking with those people. They will develop language real quick for that. So okay. Even though we showed it there as like, well, they didn't really have a stand. They just never had language put in there. I think it was through the HOAs. Didn't seem to be put language in it for that.
Oh, that's fair. A lot of the subdivisions do have HOAs, but they don't know. So, but excellent. So there.
Easy Street doesn't.
I know somebody in my ward near in my neighborhood who'd like to have a goat.
That's the next thing. That's a llama.
What?
A llama.
Yeah. So that means goats.
You'd have a llama named Dolly.
There might be that somebody might come and talk about it if they thought it was a possibility.
I'm pretty sure that person would want chickens too.
Excellent. Well, I take control of the meeting, even though I let you all get out of control here. I did bring it upon myself. But nonetheless, I'm just expressing this. Now we have something really important. We have the FY21 budget update. I know the July sales tax that's collected by the retailers in July that we collect in October, those are up about, 4.5% and 5%?
Yeah.
Yeah, so knock on wood, so far we're hanging in there with sales tax. I don't know if you or Rob had anything you wanted to add, Bart?
Yeah, just there's a note in there about the correction from last month's report. So we had talked about that the regular sales tax was up like 5%. And we thought the non-home rule sales tax, which is the one authorized by referendum, was flat. We had actually miscalculated the year-over-year percentages. It was actually up 11%. So that was highly unexpected, obviously. So that kind of leads us back towards, you know, maybe the online sales and our local residents who are shopping online are spending more than maybe what's going to be taken away from use tax. From some of that current online tax is now being classified as state sales tax. So we won't know for another probably week or so what our use tax figures are and how much of that is going to get clawed back. But I am not hearing anybody else regionally or in the metropolitan area that is seeing increases in sales tax. And some of that is caused by we're growing still, obviously, so there's more shopping here. But, you know, we're not seeing a wholesale impact yet as far as consumer purchases go locally. So we'll dive into that more at the next meeting. We'll have a more detailed report on trends, but it seems to be good news in that regard.
Yes, let's keep our fingers crossed. Hope this improves. And along the lines of budget update, staff has been awaiting this for so long. We are starting our internal budget discussions next week. I'm so excited, and I know staff has been begging me to start these, so we're all excited about it. Just want you to know, we're cruising along. Okay, item three under the mayor's report continued. We didn't have an item one under the mayor's report continued. I guess that was just where I talked on my own. Okay, or is that continued from the first portion?
Right.
Is
it's that continued what that is?
I don't pay attention to the numbers. You got so many exciting
if
things.
If you had a one, it would be beginning. Now we're good.
Tall man. Straight down.
All right.
You're slow to the draw.
Always.
Yes. Okay. So next we have item 2020-78. You can't see me grinning in here, but I am. Collective bargaining agreement between the Yorkville Sergeants and the city. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Funkhauser, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Cole, is there any discussion? Mr. Peterson, did you have anything?
No, sir.
Seeing or hearing none, we will do a roll call.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I want to say thank you all in this goofy year. We've now approved all three contracts. One will be up again shortly, but we've approved them all, and I appreciate your support of it very much. Thank you. Okay, next, do we have any additional business? No additional business. Do we have any citizen comments? Any citizen comments? Any in Zoom land? Okay. Now, we will have executive session. And for those of you who came to attend the meeting or the press, I think we still have press covering us. I see Ethan out there. Okay. We will have no action after executive session other than to adjourn. So you can sit around and wait out there if you really want, but I'd go home, do my homework, go to bed. One of those two, or have dinner. Maybe have a chicken dinner, perhaps. Chicken dinner with some fresh eggs. Okay, so we are ready for an executive session. I'm looking for an executive session. Thank you all for coming. Again, you're welcome to stick around, but this part we have to kick you out for, so. I'm looking for executive session for litigation when an action affecting on behalf of the public body has been filed and pending, or when it may be filed, for the purchase or lease of real property for the use of public body, or for collective negotiating matters. I don't think we need that one, do we? No, no. We just
need to always be alone.
Yeah, but the first two, really, that's all we need today. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I heard Ms. Milshewski and Mr. Funkhauser, and this does require, as everything tonight does, roll call, please.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Nay.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Was that a 6-2 vote? Were those yays or nays?
I heard 7-1.
Oh, 7-1, okay. That's fine.
There was a kind of time if it was.
Jason, you want to press your speaking
to
older?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can do that. What do you want me to do?
Remember,